Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I heard that kind of just kind of run through the crowd there, but appreciate that Happy New Year back. Year 2011. I don't know if you guys do New Year's resolutions at all or very well. I just don't. However, I'll probably make one this year. I made comments last week about how I like to dust around the house. And you can't imagine how much flack I've caught from men over that comment. I had about 15 people email me and call me. So I've resolved this year not to make any statements about any chores that I do, around the house. But I just don't make New Year's resolutions. I think the few that I've made I probably haven't ever kept. And so I just don't do that. You may do that and it may work well for you. But I just don't. And since I'm not very original and couldn't think of any on my own, I went to the internet and just thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I Googled goofy New Year's resolutions. Goofy New Year's resolutions. And anyway, I come up with nine. This isn't like the top nine, okay? They're just nine random resolutions. All of them aren't necessarily resolutions that people can make. One of them's actually an animal if it can make a resolution. And anyway, here's nine resolutions. If you're having problems connecting with, you want to make a resolution this year, you haven't thought of anything, maybe this will help. New Year's resolution number one is to stick to the new resolution for more than a week. It's a good resolution to make. And some of these are random. They don't make any sense, but they're random. So here's a resolution not to swim in a pool with no water in it. It's kind of a random resolution. Here's something a non-vegetarian might resolve to do. It's make a resolution not to eat anything that doesn't move. Random resolution. Here's one a dog may make. Try to understand that dogs are from Mars and cats are from Venus. Here's somebody that might try to save a little bit of money. They might make a resolution to do less laundry and wear more deodorant for the particular year. Here's one that a man might make. He may make a resolution to read at least one instruction manual during the year. And one that a woman might make is to try to understand why a man won't read an instruction manual. Here's one that was probably actually made on February 1st of this last year by somebody, and that was a resolution not to procrastinate for the coming year. February the 1st, you know, so on. Okay. All right, sorry. And here's the last one is to not make any resolutions at all, which actually is a resolution in itself and actually just kind of fail to not make any at all by making one. But, you know, I was thinking about the new year and New Year's resolutions. And, you know, for me, I guess maybe the reason I don't do it, other than maybe financially us closing out our books if we're in some kind of business. And personally, we have to pay income taxes on last year's income. And so other than maybe that marker is being an opportunity to do those things, for me, and maybe I'm wrong, for me it's just another day. You know, the calendar did click over. It's a brand new year, but there's an opportunity to focus when something is new, to focus on opportunities to have maybe perhaps some kind of newness come into our lives. And I think that's what happened when people make New Year's resolutions. And if you do that, God bless you. I'm not downplaying that. And, you know, when I started walking with Carlene, it was probably mid-February. I knew around the first of the year that she was going to challenge me to do that. It took me 45 days or so to jump on board. And it's been good for me. I'm sure I'm a healthier person because of it. But the reason I did that, I was kind of looking for some newness in that particular area of my life, in the area of my exercise. And, you know, we resolved to read through God's Word, you know, through the year. That's a good thing to do. But really, we're trying to bring some kind of newness into our personal discipline life as far as us pursuing the Lord. Jeff sent out an email encouraging people to make church attendance a priority this year, okay? Just bringing some kind of newness into that area of our life, our church attendance. God says in Revelation 21:5 that, behold, I make all things new. And I think for any, obviously, any kind of eternal newness to come into our lives, anything of eternal significance, God's got to be involved in that. And as I looked at that scripture, it's talking about something future. Revelation 21:5, it's something future about this heaven and earth passing away and the new Jerusalem coming down, which we're going to dwell in someday. And, a reason I don't hang on to a whole lot of my possessions, or I don't value them as valuable as I probably should, is because someday they're going to cease to exist. I'm really proud of two things. I got a new little Nook color reader for Christmas, and it's kind of cool. It's, 7-inch diagonal screen, and I can put 50 or 60 different Bible versions on it, and I enjoy that. I've got a Craftsman 19.2-volt drill. Got a brand new, about a month ago, a brand new lithium ion battery that, man, it's awesome. The NiCad batteries, they you charge them and then they discharge. And I'm kind of fond of those two things. But you know what? I'm not going to hang on too tight to them because it's going to pass away. My house is going to pass away. If Jesus tarries and it's still standing. And basically, he's going to destroy this world with fire. So it's really just firewood anyway. If we want to look at it from that perspective, this building is the same thing. So I want to encourage you not to hang on too tightly to the things that God allows us to have. But ultimately, God's going to make all things new. But even in the interim time, even in the meantime, here we are. And obviously, we're not there yet. Obviously, this new Jerusalem is still in the... I don't know if it's already... Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know if he's working on it right now. But obviously, it's something future. But even in today's time, as believers in Christ, there can be absolute newness in our life. We can anticipate that, I believe. There's promises there that that's available to us if we'll take advantage of it. And then obviously, we can't experience that particular newness, and we can't experience this future newness in this new Jerusalem unless we are new ourselves, unless we're born again in Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the newness that comes from God. Let's pray about that. Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for the way you've sustained us this last year, individually and corporately as a church. And Father, you're just good. And we just really don't know how good you are. And I just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as I work through this morning, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just allow me to speak only words that the Father would want me to speak. Just use me, Almighty God, for your glory this morning. And Father, I don't want to miss you at all. If there's something that I've thought about or haven't thought about, God, I just want to see you move this morning in the lives of your people. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm looking at this. It's kind of a weird progression, maybe, perhaps, but, we get saved, we get born again, and we're new creatures in Christ, and then there's opportunities to walk in that newness, and then ultimately someday when Jesus comes back and he reigns on the earth for 1,000 years and he takes us to this new Jerusalem, there's going to be ultimate newness there. And what I want to do this morning is kind of a progression forward. But what I want to do this morning is kind of work backwards. I want to look at this new Jerusalem and then look at this newness that we can experience in our life today. And then I want to end up on this particular opportunity that we have to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. So let's read, it's going to be on the screen. Let's read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. I guess y'all found your inserts, did you? Somebody, I think it was Eric Prohoda, come up to me. You must be preaching this morning. You don't have anything on your insert. Wow. Thanks a lot, Eric. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. This is an incredible scene that John, the Apostle John, was exposed to. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We can absolutely believe it because God said it. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son or my daughter. So there's a new city. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if we're not going to go ahead and read that, the rest of Revelation 21, but I challenge you to do that maybe sometime today, sometime this week. But this new city, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. Everything that we know as planet Earth today is going to cease to exist. And I guess all the solar systems will cease to exist. God's going to do something new. This particular city, John was given a measuring rod and said, go measure the city. You know, go see how big it is. And this measuring rod that John was given was a golden measuring rod. I mean, even the tape measures in heaven, there's something special about them. Golden measuring rod. And this particular city, I don't know how long it took him, but it was 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles the other direction, and it's a cube, 1,500 miles tall. So it's basically just a great big cube. I mean, I can't fathom that. I can't understand that, but that's what God's Word says. So my daughter would be so proud of me. She's a math nerd, but I thought let me figure out how many cubic miles that may be. And so anyway, that particular city, if we believe in the literal translation of what God's Word says, it's 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. It's how big this city is. Planet Earth is 197 square miles, and if you were to try to cram the Earth into this cube, 17 Earths would fit inside this New Jerusalem. And man, it's got to be an incredible place. John, as he was continuing to look, he was measuring things like this wall. He saw this wall around the city, and it's 72 yards wide, 3/4 of a football field. Is this wall, and it's made out of every kind of stone that you could possibly imagine, and the stones are so pure that a lot of them are just transparent, like glass. There's three gates on each side, 12 gates total, and how many of you have heard about the pearly gates? Everybody? Okay. And I'm not sure how big these gates are. I mean, this wall's, you know, pretty phenomenal. I don't know how tall it is, but it says, God's Word says that the gates are made out of a single pearl. Man, what kind of clam would, you know, a single pearl? It's got to be enormous. And, God's Word says that there won't be any sun and there won't be any moon and there won't be any need for those kind of light sources because God himself is the source of light for the people. There won't be a temple. There won't be a church building. You know, God's going to be in the center, and just his very existence radiates light. You know, there's no tears, no crying. No weeping, no sadness, no walking canes, no eyeglasses. That's our home, folks. Believers in Christ, that's our home. You know, we're just kind of passing through this journey on earth. I mean, we're pilgrims. And that's what God ultimately has in store for us. That's the kind of newness that God, when he says, behold, I make all things new, you know. That's what he's got in store for us. And that's the prize. God himself. It's not so much this fantastic city. It's that God's going to be there. And he'll be our God and we'll be his people. And we'll see him for who he is. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you, but we need to be longing for that. I don't long for it every day. But I probably should be. And if I realize that this home was more temporary than what it really is, then maybe my perspective on life and the way I deal with people would be different. So ultimately, God makes all things new, but we're not there yet. And the first point was that he ultimately makes all things new. Second point is that we can have newness in the present. Newness in the present. You know, when we got saved, we became new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It didn't say if anyone's in Christ, he was a new creation. Were we made new in Christ? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean that we're not still being new or being made new, or that does not mean that there's still not opportunities for renewal in our life. You know, I got saved 29 years ago, and I just remember how new and fresh that was for me. But you know what? I'm still new. I'm glad that this isn't my glorified body, because it's kind of deteriorated over the last 29 years. But there's opportunities for there to be newness in my life, even though it's been 29 years since I became a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We're challenged to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. Put off the old self. And to put on the new self, have opportunities to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we can walk in newness of life. That's available for us. And I don't know if you feel like you're there a lot of days, but it's absolutely available for us. And there's three things, just real briefly, that we can depend on, things that we can possibly do to help us walk in that newness. First of all, and I love this verse in Lamentations. That's something else. I love this verse in Lamentations. And his mercies or his compassions are brand new every morning. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. We can trust in this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Are you glad of that? Amen. For his compassions never fail, or you can plug in the word mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And if you look at this word, they're made new every morning. This particular word, the original language kind of speaks about that being a word that talks about something being repaired or restored. Now, as I walk through my day, I'm depending on God's mercy. I'm depending on his grace. And God's word says it's brand new every morning, and this doesn't really happen, but this is kind of what the intent of the word is, that it is repaired or restored. You know, I'm walking through the day as a believer in Christ, and I'm depending on his mercy, and it's available for me. And by the way, his mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Does that make sense? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. But I'm trusting in his mercy. And so just say, this doesn't really happen, but it's kind of like the intent of this word is that I'm using up the mercy that's available for me that day. And so I lay down that night, I go to sleep, and overnight that mercy is being repaired and restored. And that very next morning, it's brand new. It doesn't really happen that way, but there's no way to use up all the mercy that's available for us through Christ. It's available every day. It's brand new every morning. His mercy is, and we can trust in that because God's faithful. Another way is ourself being renewed through the knowledge of who God is. Colossians 3, 9-11 says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. We should have done that. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, man, woman, child, red, black, or white, but Christ is all and is in all. Now we put on this new self, and if you look in verse 10, that word new actually talks about something being young, like perhaps a young man or a young woman. Which is being renewed, and that particular word renewed means to be refreshed to the former state in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. The more that we grow in the knowledge of who God is, the more that times of refreshing come in. And if we don't take advantage of that, growing in the knowledge of who God is, then maybe perhaps we can't expect that newness to come in, that those times of refreshing to come in. Romans 12, 1 through 2, scripture that we're all familiar with, we can be transformed by our minds being renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this word renewing in verse 2 means exactly the same thing as renewing did or being renewed in Colossians 3. It means to be refreshed to its former state. And the word transformed, I know a lot of you probably already know this, but that word be transformed by renewing our mind means that word is metamorph, which actually it's the thing, same thing that happens to a butterfly as it changes states from larvae to crawls in a cocoon and then comes out to be a butterfly. There's absolutely opportunities for us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think of the scripture out of Philippians. It talks about let us, whatever is pure, holy, righteous, let our minds dwell on these things. I mean, do we do that on a daily basis? Well, we have opportunities to have our minds renewed, our minds transformed by us dwelling on the things of God. And as far as I understand God's word, those opportunities for renewal, they don't stop until Jesus takes us home. It's available to us for 40, 50, 60, 70 years perhaps. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And again, that word renewed means to be refreshed to its former state. I don't know how many of you may feel like outwardly you're wasting away. Anybody in here besides maybe myself? We're not going to ask for any details, but you know, my knees don't work like they used to. I can't squat down and get back up. Used to, there was no problem with that, you know, 15 years ago or so. I know Jeff has shared with you guys his story, his softball story from 2 years back. Y'all remember that, where he hits first time he bats for the year, he hits, and he's running down the first baseline. He pulls a hamstring, and his season's over. Y'all remember that? Well, that makes me in fine company. So they talked me into playing as well, and I had no idea that I couldn't do the things that I used to could do. I just didn't know till I tried, and I found out real quick that it wasn't a very smart idea. But so I play a couple of games, and I used to be pretty spiffy, you know, softball player. I thought growing up, I thought I was quite the athlete, I used to play shortstop years ago. Well, they put me on third base. I just kind of like to be on that same side of the field. And so I've got my glove on, and I remember the ball hit to me, and I'm thinking, I need to move to get this ball. And so, you know, I don't. You know, I just don't move fast. I move, but it's not fast enough. And I thought, well, I can skate by, and maybe they hit one right at me, and I can catch it. Don't know if I can throw it to first base or not, but I know I can catch it. And so I didn't really anticipate me having to run much, but you know, when you bat and you hit and you actually get a hit, you got to run. And so I played a couple games, and you know, I got a few hits, and my knees started swelling. This was the middle of March, and I played 3 games and I quit. And the swelling went down in October. Finally, my knee swelling went down in October. So my softball career and Jeff's softball career was short-lived. Second career was very short-lived. But obviously, we're just, you know, our bodies are just deteriorating. That's the curse. Okay, that's just the curse in action. But even though outwardly we're wasting away, God's word says don't lose heart because of that. Don't lose heart. Because inwardly, we have these times of refreshing, these times of renewal that can come in. And you know, I see that being played out in reality in several people's lives, and one person in particular that I see that being played out in is my stepdad. Cliff Burfield. And Cliff, you mind standing up, sir? He's not very tall, but there he is. That's all what you see with him is what you get. But, you know, and I talked to Cliff about this yesterday, and Cliff's got, I think, Jeff, Cliff's got a testimony he'd like to share at some point with the church. God's working in Cliff's life. And about 5 years ago, Cliff gave his heart to Jesus. He was baptized right out here in a water trough. And I got to help with that, which was a joy. And so I watched Cliff for about the last 5 years. You know, he's always worked with his hands. He's been real successful. And I've watched him just have to slow down. And he's got a golf cart repair business. He's always been really good at doing stuff like that, fixing stuff. And I've just seen him have to give that up. And he's given that over to somebody else. Isn't that right, Cliff? Just within the last month. And so Cliff can't do much like he used to do. I mean, he goes to the coffee shop a couple times a day, and he gets out and he piddles in the yard some, but a lot of times, just because his heart's functioning at 35% capacity, which they've got that stabilized, praise God, he spends a lot of time sitting in the recliner playing with his dog. But there's probably not a more joyful person I know than Cliff Burfield. And I just see this inner strength inside of him, that even though outwardly he's wasting away, and inside God's renewing him. And it's exciting. Did I tell it right, Cliff? All right. Well, I love you, my friend, and thank you for... Go ahead and sit down. So even though ultimately we've got this place where Jesus is preparing for us, ultimately, there's ultimate renewal there. There's ultimate newness there. You know, even in this life, even if we're 81 years old, like Cliff's 81, I believe, 81, 82, we can have this newness inside of us, even though outwardly. Do what? All right. I must have told that wrong then, so... I know he had his 80th birthday here just within the last year and a half or so. But you know what? Here's reality. In order for us to experience any kind of newness at all, okay, either in this life or ultimately when Jesus takes us to be with himself in the New Jerusalem, we have to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus for that to happen. And if we don't, none of the rest of it really matters. It doesn't really make sense, okay? Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And we all have opportunities to be made brand new in Christ Jesus. You know, I'm not much of a hellfire brimstone kind of guy. I don't get very many opportunities to preach, but to be honest with you, sometimes that kind of preaching is offensive to me. It worked really well in the 1800s and early 1900s when they had incredible revivals. Man, they laid it out there for what it really was. The reality of heaven and the reality of hell is very real. And just like we read about this New Jerusalem, there's this other place that's an eternity separated from a holy God. You know, forget seeing your relatives. That's not going to matter. What's really going to matter is this separation from a holy God. And you think about probably the worst thing you've ever had to endure. Well, it's kind of probably that times about 100 for eternity. And I've really been struggling with this. Jeff asked me to preach 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I thought, well, I'll just kind of tiptoe real nicely around the gospel and the eternal realities of what Christ has done for us, the eternal realities of us either accepting or not accepting. And God's not going to let me get away with it. And I don't want to stand in front of him someday and he said, "Billy, you remember January 2nd, 2011, you remember how I charged you to share my word and you just kind of gently worked around reality of the gospel. And I don't know if I would even have that conversation with him, but I don't want to have it. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you don't know Christ, if you've never accepted Christ, if he's not in your heart this morning, if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside of you, and you say, well, how can we know? Well, 1 John says that we can know. Okay? Romans says that we can know. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, making witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We can know. I walked an aisle when I was 14 years old. I got saved when I was 24. Carlene walked an aisle when she was 11. We walked an aisle a lot in Baptist churches. That's the only way you can get saved, is walking an aisle. I'm not downplaying that, but it works. But she was 11 or 12 years old. She walks an aisle, and makes a confession. You know, she served in children's ministry from that point. For the next 20 plus years, she taught Sunday school. She did VBSs. She was a children's Sunday school coordinator in our church. She got saved, gloriously saved, at age 35. And I think about it, again, this is this hellfire brimstone stuff that just really doesn't set with me much, but I think about us driving to church that particular morning. And, you know, what if something would have happened and I would have lost her that morning? An eternity separated from a holy God was her fate. And I remember for me, when I walked this aisle at 14, I just remember for me that for the next 10 years, every time I heard the gospel preached, there was this, and I can't really, I'm going to do the best I can to explain it, and maybe some of you can relate to this, but I would just remember somewhere resonating from the inside of my being was this burning sensation, like my heart was on fire. I don't know how to explain it other than that. And I just it seemed like there was this tug constantly over and over again, and I don't know how many sermons I sat through before I yielded to that. And praise God that continued until I yielded to it. So I want to challenge you this morning. I promise, well, I can't promise you, but if I get to preach again, I may not just be this bold, but for some reason, I just felt like God wasn't going to let me get away with it this morning. So I implore you, I'm not going to beg you, but I implore you to trust Christ this morning. Don't leave this building, okay, without being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because really, the rest of it doesn't really matter. What I've said prior to this point doesn't really matter. It doesn't apply. Now, I love you. I love you too much not to share that. But come to Christ this morning. Come to Christ this morning. And if you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, be made new. Be renewed. Trust God. Trust Him for His mercies that are brand new every morning. If you're an older person this morning and you're just kind of discouraged with how you're feeling and things not working, just let Him renew you inwardly day by day. He's not going to give you a brand new body on this side of eternity. It's not going to happen. I don't care how many plastic surgeries Kenny Rogers has. He's still 90 years old. I mean, it doesn't really matter. He's still wasting away. He's still deteriorating. But just trust God for His newness this morning, however that applies to you.
That newness that Billy's talking about to us this morning, you know, it took place where we became new, where we become new. We sang about it this morning. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. That's where we become new, church. We come together this morning to do what our Lord told us to do, to partake of this meal and to remember the sacrifice that He has made for each of us. If you would turn to page 12 in your hymnal. I've said this before, but I want to repeat to you today that I grew up in the church. When we took communion, once a month, and much like we do here in our church, and we read through this liturgy each and every month. And as a young boy growing up and just hearing that every day or every month for most of my life, and I'm not proud to say it, but it just became just words, just something we said, something, it's just part of the service we did once a month. Really didn't have a whole lot of significance to me. Then I went on a walk to Emmaus when I was 30 years old, and I understood that this is a costly meal. This is a very precious and costly meal, and He provides this meal to us to make us new. So as we read through this liturgy this morning, Christians have been saying these things together for hundreds of years. And so it somehow connects us with our heritage. But I want these words to be true words coming from our heart and not just words on a page. So hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before this holy God and before one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would pray your own silent prayer of confession before this holy God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. If you would turn over to page 13. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with Your people on earth in the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread and gave thanks to You, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit, Lord, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Christ our Lord has invited us to his table to make us new. You will be, if you come to one of our serving stations, you will be given a piece of bread and you can dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. And the altar rail is open. We also have the center station here where you will be given an individual cracker, an individual cup. If you'd like to be served in that manner, you come to the center here. Come.
Holy, holy.
Song, amen? Singing about that new Jerusalem. Wow, looking forward to that. I want to challenge everybody this year, all of us, myself included, let's walk in newness of life this year. It's available for us. And I just, if you need to visit a little bit more with Jeff or I about this need to allow Christ to come into your life, we'd love to do that. So I just want to encourage you, if you need to have that conversation with either one of us or somebody here that you trust, have that conversation before you leave here today. What a great day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. What a great day. Guys, be blessed. Have a great day. And don't make any New Year's resolutions this year. Okay? All right. Y'all are dismissed. Have a great week.